This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. How do we get rid of nuclear waste? It's got to go somewhere. There are no good options, and the preferred method is to bury it somewhere, someplace deep and isolated, where it won't be a problem down the timeline. But where? In Texas, that place is in a West Texas facility owned by Waste Control Specialist in Andrews County, which is on the New Mexico border and southwest of Midland, Odessa. Today, the TCEQ tripled the WCS facility's capability and lowered its liability. So we're going to be talking about what's happening with this nuclear waste facility in Texas. A lot of environmentalists are alarmed. If you get a question or a comment, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and write directly on the show page on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Chuck McDonald, is the spokesperson for WCS. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, David, thanks for having me.
We also are joined by Representative Lon Burnham. He is a Democrat from Fort Worth. Representative Burnham.
Good afternoon. Glad to be with you.
And also we're joined by Karen Hayden, the Executive Director of the SEED Coalition, Sustainable Energy and Economic Development Coalition. Karen, welcome to The Source.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So, Chuck, let's start off with you. Can you describe what action was taken today by the TCEQ and how it impacts the facility in West Texas, the low-level nuclear waste facility?
Yes, I can, and I want to start out. I'll just follow your introduction there, David, because it's a little bit confusing here. The TCEQ did do a couple things, one of which was they lowered the financial assurance required of the facility, as you noted, to reflect the facility that was actually constructed, which is considerably smaller than what was when the original license application upon which the original financial assurance was based. And it also did expand the licensed ability to dispose of waste to over 9 million cubic feet, which is a far greater amount than the current license capacity. But it is very important to realize that there will not, if any of that new capacity was to be constructed, then of course TCEQ would make WCS redo the financial assurance, and the financial assurance would reflect the larger facility. So while those two things happened, they didn't happen together, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, sure, I got that. So you're saying, I mean, why didn't it get built out to its original projected footprint, and now it's being tripled? So it doesn't make sense that you're going to expand a facility and cut back on this financial assurance because it's not as big as it was projected, but now it's getting even bigger than anyone ever thought it was.
Correct. Yes, and that's another confusing aspect to this matter. And here's the reality. The facility is currently licensed to dispose of 2.39 million cubic feet of low-level radioactive waste. To date, after just over 2 years of operation, we've disposed of 51,000 cubic feet. I'm not the best in the world at math, but I think that's about 2%. So we're a long, long, long way from even approaching capacity on the 2.39 million that is in the current license. The reason for the additional license capacity is because, as your guests are well aware, they've been very active in this process throughout. Every single time we have a meeting of the Texas Compact Commission, every time the Texas legislature has a committee hearing to discuss this low-level waste facility, there's constant concerns expressed about the need to protect the long-term capacity for decommissioning needs of Texas and Vermont. That's decommissioning that will take place in a best-case scenario, 60 or 70 years from now.
Does that mean you don't fill it up with other people's stuff, that you keep space available for Texas waste and Vermont waste because we have this longstanding compact with Vermont?
Yes, and current Texas law says that 70% of capacity is reserved for the compact states, which are Texas and Vermont. So there's sort of a permanent placeholder for Texas and Vermont. But even with that in place,
Chuck,
there's a constant refrain.
Okay, Lon, I'm going to give you a chance, just a second. Okay, Chuck, go ahead.
And finish this. The concern is we won't have long-term capacity. It's a problem that's easily solved by just increasing the license capacity. And I'll let Lon speak to that, but I can assure you, without any hesitation, there will be no ground broken on any new disposal facility for decades to come out of that WCS facility. We've done 51,000 cubic feet in 2 years. We've got 2.4 in the current license capacity. So there's not that much waste out there.
All right, Representative Lon Burnham, you wanted to address
there's a number of inaccuracies that I think Chuck put forth that I think need to be addressed. In the first place, people need to recognize that when the legislation passed by Congress to set up these compacts arrangements, it was to minimize how much any state would become responsible for. That was over 20 years ago. What we're now seeing in the evolution of this legislation, which is the reason I take exception to any assurances, because the legislation keeps evolving. We passed state legislation in 2003. Each legislative session, the six subsequent sessions, the industry has had more and more of a sway with the legislature in getting what they want, all of which is really about maximizing their profits and not protecting the public interest in Texas. I think it's really disingenuous to talk about the 70% reserve capacity, because without constant monitoring by the public, what we're seeing is constant rearranging of the legislation. Let's be clear. There's an economic interest here that WCS has in expanding the maximum amount of import that they can over the years. So, yes, again and again, you hear the public interest expression and concern that we take care of our own responsibilities first. I also think it's a little disingenuous to suggest that either of the two nuclear power facilities in Texas will be operating 60 or 70 years from now. I think it's much more likely that they'll be closing down in the next 20 to 30 years, and we will have not just the waste that we're dealing with right now, we will have the decommissioning cost. We will have the issue of addressing the decommissioning from the Vermont facility.
We're coming up on break here, so I know there's a lot there, and I also want to get my other guests in on the conversation, Karen Hayden. So what we're going to do is when we come back from the break, we'll take a look at some of these new developments with the Texas Low-Level Nuclear Waste Dump Facility. It's out in Andrews County, which is way out in West Texas. It's northwest of Midland, Odessa, and this facility is exactly smack dab on the Texas-New Mexico border. It's a piece of land that it seemed like nothing could ever grow there, but that's there. The ground is red. It's very dry and hot. But what's under the ground is what has people wondering about with the water table and if there's any chance of seepage of that nuclear waste into the aquifer. We're going to continue this conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Earlier today, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality approved changes to a license with the Waste Control Specialist, a private low-level nuclear waste disposal facility in West Texas. And so there are critics who say this puts more liability on the people of Texas, opens up more profits for this company, and they want more citizen oversight, which may or may not be happening. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. So let's get our other guest in on the conversation, Karen Hayden, Executive Director of the SEED Coalition, Sustainable Energy and Economic Development. Karen, do you have concerns about today's developments?
Yes, and it's not surprising because throughout the years, we see waste control specialists asking for one thing and assuring us that it ends there, and all of a sudden they want more and more and more, and there seems to be no end in sight to the kind of waste that they want to bring to Texas. And this does have risks for the public, risks if there were transportation accidents, risks if there were ever leaks at the site, risks to potential risks for water contamination. So we have grave concerns. And this latest round, we see the company tripling the volume of waste they can take and at the same time getting their financial requirement for financial assurance reduced. This makes no sense at all. We have concerns that waste is going to this site at all. And this low-level waste can be any radionuclide. Some of this waste is very hot in terms of radioactivity, and it's coming now not just from the two compact states, but from nuclear reactors around the whole country and coming to Texas. At the site, which is supposed to be 100% dry in order for safety and in order for there to be no risk of contamination of waterways, instead what we have seen, the most recent analysis by Seed Coalition based on the water monitoring wells, was that 40% of the wells had water present in them, and we don't consider that to be a dry site, and it's getting increasingly difficult to get real data from the agency about how much they're having to pump to try to keep this site dry.
Chuck McDonald, you're the spokesperson for the Waste Control Specialist. Can you react to the concerns of Karen Hayden?
I can, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to, and there's been so much here, but I want to make a couple points in no particular order responding to Karen and Lon both. First of all, the assertion that there is water at that site and there is an excess of moisture is simply beyond the pale. When we built the facility, when you do the construction, you have to have water. We had to run a pipeline 5 miles and get water from the city of Eunice because there is no water. Believe me, if there was water, it would have been a heck of a lot cheaper than running a pipe for 5 miles. But secondly, and this is important, people really need to understand the time frame here. And I like Lon Burnham. I've supported him in the past, but he's wrong on this. The reason I said we're 60 years from seeing decommissioning waste is because Vermont Yankee, the other state in our compact, is going through decommissioning right now, today. They're shutting down Vermont Yankee. They have public hearing after public hearing in the state of Vermont. And you know what the proposal is? Put the facility in safe store for 60 years, then we'll start decommissioning it. That's 60 years from today. That's a facility that they are shutting down now, and they say, hey, in 60 years, we're shipping to Andrews. I get that we have to have this facility available for Vermont and Texas facilities if and when they close, and they certainly will close at some point. But what's going to be available to them in 60 years if there's not an operating facility? That's the whole point, okay? And so we have to have an operating facility today and tomorrow and next year if we're going to have one in 60 years to take this waste when it needs to be disposed of.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation. Stephen is on the line. Stephen, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thank you very much, and a really interesting subject. Commend all of you for discussing this and airing it with the public. I would just like to get your guests to discuss a little bit. I was involved with some of the groups that were basically fighting the initial dump that was proposed for Hudspeth County back in the 80s, and ultimately the project was abandoned in the late 90s. But the aspect that West Texas is, the land is arid, granted it is, but this aspect of water, aquifer, non-replenishable aquifers, but is as much that the types of dumps that have been proposed have all failed within a minimal time period. And I'd like to have some commentary on that in terms of your experts.
Stephen.
Steve is correct when he says virtually all the dumps that have been created have failed one way or the other. The most recent example is the waste isolation dump in New Mexico, where they have started shipping waste from the Los Alamos Laboratory to our own site here in Texas for temporary storage because they can't send it there because there's been a fire. Steve is also particularly correct when he points out that it's about the aquifers. The land above looks dry, but there's major aquifers, and the proposed site that Steve is referring to, the Sierra Blanca or Hedgepeth County site was over the aquifer that El Paso is totally dependent on. You know, the city that's there in the desert, they're totally dependent on that aquifer. The reason Chuck is completely inaccurate in his comments about the water is they didn't know, because they changed the maps and they denied the information that was brought forward by TCEQ employees. They just didn't realize when they dug those deep holes that they would end up having water in those holes for at least 2 years. I don't even know whether the water is out now, but they've been furiously pumping water out because obviously the earth is more porous than we ever realize, and there are aquifers right there at that waste dump site, and we have not appropriately addressed the issue of the possibility of accidents and the contamination of those aquifers. And
okay, so that's there's a lot there, so I want to give Chuck a chance to respond to that, because that's a big allegation. So we should just kind of focus on that for right now, Representative Berman.
Thank you.
So the holes, the holes that you dig, I know you've got these very deep pits, and you have the nuclear waste. They're put in these, I guess, concrete-type vaults, and then you stack them in the pit, and then you bury them. So as you dug these pits, did water seep into the pit?
Of course not. Absolutely, unequivocally.
There's been water there for 2 years.
The facility's open. Is there water in it? Of course not. Of course not. That's the most absurd statement I have ever heard. Let's
Chuck, we can show you the documents. The documents are a matter of public record.
Lon, I can show you the hole in the ground.
Right. So, Lon, you sound convinced. Why are you so convinced?
I'm sorry.
Why are you so convinced, Lon? What do you have to back that up? The burden of proof is on you.
The burden of proof is we have the documents on file. Some of them are in the Capitol office there. We have filed a number of complaints and contentions about this. This is the first time I've ever heard anybody deny that the water is there. The first time I've ever heard anybody deny that they've had to use pumps to pump the water out.
Okay, Chuck, respond, and I'm going to get Karen back in here. Chuck, respond real quick.
I would really like to. In 2007, midway through the licensing process, it is absolutely correct. Some TCEQ employees said, we are concerned that there is a connected bodies of water in the formation of ground above the red bed clays that will flow into the facility once it's dug. And they said this is a major problem. We don't want to have water running over these containers that have radioactive waste in them, low level or not. And so at that point, TCEQ said, we need more information. They doubled the number of boring samples that had to be taken to answer this question. And it was demonstrated to their satisfaction that we could build a facility. But as the TCEQ staff said themselves at the time, when you dig that enormous 120-foot deep hole, we're going to answer this question one way or the other. Either water is going to pour into the facility, as was the supposition that Representative Burnham continues to make right now, or it's not.
Okay, let's get Karen Hayden in on this. Chuck, thank you for that. Karen Hayden, Executive Director of SEED Coalition. How do you add to this?
Well, waste control geologists have said that the Ogallala Antlers Gatuna Formation is on the site. They also say that the Dockham Aquifer is on the site. And they have said that the main body of the Ogallala is something on the order of 6 miles north of the site. They have also testified that there is no geologic barrier between the site and that major Ogallala Aquifer barrier. So there were three employees at the TCEQ who actually resigned from the agency because of their huge concerns that there would eventually be radioactive contamination of water at this site. And it is those very water monitoring wells that Mr. McDonald referred to that showed 40% of them the presence of water. And that doesn't count the ones where the water is 2 inches away, but they call it dry because it's not at the level that they measure. So I think there is every reason to be concerned about water at this site. And the license has been continually modified, where there used to be a requirement of a very, very dry area up to the edge of the site. Now, through amendments, they can bury waste in a site as long as it's not directly in water, and there can be standing water next to it.
Okay. So, Chuck, respond to that, please.
I'm throwing in the towel. I honestly am.
Come on, man.
These people are incorrect. This is the most geologically characterized plot of land on the planet Earth. That is not an exaggeration. That's not an overstatement. They wanted core samples and borings and wells at every conceivable depth from 10 feet to 1,000 feet. They got them. They got 600 of them. Yes, there are monitoring wells all over that site. Yes, we get trace amounts of water in those wells because it's trapped there for thousands and thousands of years because the whole thing is built on top of this red bed clay formation that traps anything above or below it. It is simply one of the drier places that you can find at the subsurface level. And the facility certainly wouldn't have been built if all those tests prove anything otherwise. But you know what? They want more wells. They get more wells. They get more data. They see the facility. Is it good enough for Karen and Lon? Absolutely not. For the last 10 years, I've been listening and responding to these allegations that the site is some sort of dadgum swamp. It's absurd.
Right. Well, it doesn't have to be a swamp. It only takes apparently just a little bit of a water table in order to, seep into these containers, and that's what people are trying to avoid.
No. The containers
are
sitting inside
a water issue, which is important. But the reason for the interview today is to talk about what happened at the TCEQ yesterday. And the fact of the matter is, despite all the false assurances, there were three major amendments. And worse, I think, from a process standpoint, the TCEQ cut off the public interest advocates that were trying to raise issues. And it couldn't be clearer that in the first place, when the legislation was passed, we felt like the financial assurance was inadequate. Now they've cut it, but they are expanding. We're now looking at taking waste from 36, 38 states. Obviously, we've already started taking waste from our nuclear weapons program. And this is because WCS controls the governmental political process. You have the three employees resign from TCEQ. That should be the alarm to the general public. If you have three whistleblowers out of conscience resign from TCEQ, we should have more public participation, not diminished public participation.
And today, yesterday, during this decision by the TCEQ, was there public comment, Representative Berman?
Karen was there. She can better speak to it than I, but they denied the opportunity to speak only to a narrow portion of the issue.
All right. Well, I want to thank our guest, Chuck McDonald. I hope you had a chance to state your case and that you felt that you were given a chance. Chuck McDonald is a spokesperson for Waste Control Specialist. Representative Lon Berman, he is a Democrat from Fort Worth, and Karen Hayden, Executive Director of the SEED Coalition. This is The Source on KSTX. When we come back from the NPR News, we're going to talk about farms to farm. Stay tuned.